Time for some NBA quick takes. Max Kellerman, who will win the Defensive Player of the Year?
Well, Gobert will win it, but Ben Simmons deserves it. Ben Simmons said the right thing about this. He said, look, they say Gobert's the best defensive player, but he can't guard 1 through 5. You can create mismatch there. Ben Simmons can legit guard 1 through 5 at an elite level. That's the Defensive Player of the Year.
Bam says it's Bam. Canty, who will win Coach of the Year?
Molly, it's going to be Monty Williams, head coach of the Phoenix Suns. And I know Max thinks it should be Tom Thibodeau from the New York Knicks. And a big part of that is because the Knicks are going to be in the playoffs for the first time since 2012-2013. Well, guess what? The Suns ain't been in the playoffs since 2010. And Monty Williams got that group to go from 10th in the Western Conference last year to second in the Western Conference this year. When they started the month of May, this team had the best record against teams above 500 in the NBA. One of only two teams to have a top 10 rating, offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency. It's Monty Williams.
Definitely a two-horse race. Max, who's going to win MVP?
Jokic, and he deserves it. Game for game, the best player has been James Harden or Joel Embiid.
Okay.
But they have missed too many games. Jokic. Now, forget about the 27 almost points, 11 boards, 8 assists, the best passing big, you know, the whole thing. His PER is leading the league. And it's an imperfect stat, but you know who has the highest PER lifetime all time? Michael Jordan. You know who's number two? LeBron James. It ain't the way. It correlates pretty well with how good you are.
Fellas, we stay in the NBA. Let's get you caught up on last night. How about the Heat? Jimmy Butler said y'all must have forgot. We're the defending Eastern Conference champs. A 12-point win over the Sixers, who have the best record in the East. Jimmy.
I want to win. Keep winning at that. So, yeah, you can call it whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to say, like, we're trying to prove it to anybody. We just know what we're capable of, honestly. We talk about it all year. I think we're finally coming around. Let's just see if we can keep playing basketball the way that we're playing. Not really jinx ourselves and just go out there and hoop.
All right, Big Perk back with us. Perk, you got me? Hey, hey, there he is. All right, I just got to say this quickly before I get to you guys. Everyone slept on the Heat last year. They were also the 5th seed, and they made it all the way to the finals. Perk, I will start with you. Can the Heat actually challenge the Nets in the East?
Hold on, Molly. Look, everyone didn't sleep on the Heat last year, okay? There was one person sitting up here talking about the Heat, and I'm about to talk about them right now.
Okay,
them goons,
to you.
Them goons from Dade County, they're putting their ski masks on at the right time. It's summertime. It's hot out. You know the goons are lurking. And look, when you watch this Miami Heat team, they play inspiring, winning basketball on both ends of the floor. Offensively, you're running your offense through Bam, where he's dribble handoff and guys are cutting back door. Jimmy Buckets going on the block, taking guys off the dribble, 1-2 dribble pull-ups, making plays for others. They have shooting and Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, Trevor Ariza, wisely bent on both ends of the floor. And defensively, they locked in. They are on your heels like a pair of socks defensively. Bam, one of the best defender bigs in the league, right after Anthony Davis. A guy that can switch 1 through 5, a guy that can anchor the defense, great weak side shot blocker, helping the helper, things to that nature. But most importantly, they have one of the best coaches in the game today, a top 5 coach ever in the history of the NBA, Eric Spoelstra. He throws things out there at you that just confuses you. I'm watching the game last night. I didn't know if he was in a 2-1-2, a 3-2, whatever it was that had the 76ers and Joel Embiid discombobulated. So not only should the Nets be worried about the Heat, but the whole Eastern Conference should be worried about them goons from Dade County.
Well, it's a righteous position to take to support the Heat there. And do I think the Heat could take them to 6 games, the Nets? Yeah, 6. They're not going to take them to 7. Let me tell you what it's like, and I have experience as a reformed Knicks fan. Back in the day, you could say the Knicks or the Pacers, you know, they could challenge the Bulls. No, they couldn't. They could win a couple games from the Bulls. Maybe in a great year, they could take them 7. They never had a chance to win. Not really. Not really. Because the Bulls had Jordan and Pippen and, you know, Horace Grant and then Rodman. And that's these Nets. Now, you might say, oh, that 1 year the Pacers did beat him. Remember, Jordan only played those 17 games, came back at the end, didn't have his legs, right? Maybe that's like James Harden. The problem is, I saw Harden. show up. How, Perk? How did he show up? You said I say it a lot. How did he show up? Fat and out of shape, looking like a hot mess. A walking triple-double with 30 points in wins. James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving will not be taken to a Game 7 throughout these playoffs, East or West.
Big Perk, there's one thing I agree with you with. Them goons from Dade County is out of there because you saw Udonis Haslem, who hadn't played the game all season, play last night, and you saw he was having none of that from the Sixers. Joel Embiid trying to get a little chippy with Ariza, and then Dwight Howard. Didn't matter. Udonis Haslem wanted all the smoke. But I love the mentality of this Miami Heat team, especially how they defend. But I don't think there's going to be a defense that's out there in the NBA, including theirs, that can contend with what the Brooklyn Nets are bringing to the table with a healthy James Harden, KD, and Kyrie. I just don't. I mean, you see the numbers when they got James Harden on the court. The Nets record is something like 28-7. So, I mean, it's a virtually unguardable team offensively. Now, they're going to have to figure some things out on defense, but their offense is so good, they're going to have the margin of error to be able to go through this playoffs, Chris, and figure it out in terms of being able to slow teams down quite enough.
There are alien civilizations, like advanced civilizations, studying the Earth right now who haven't figured out how to stop that Nets offense.
Exactly.
There's no earthly defense that's going to stop that Nets offense. Forget it.
No
shot. If they're healthy, forget it.
No shot.
All I'm going to say is this. Y'all are really not showing the proper respect to Eric Spoelstra, okay? I watched this man last year in the bubble, in the playoffs. I watched him switch up his defense every series, threw guys off. Everyone thought that the Milwaukee Bucks were going to just walk through the Miami Heat. Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat had something different to say about it. Jimmy Butler on the biggest stage against LeBron James and Anthony Davis go out there and lay it all out on the line. The man had a 40-point triple-double. Said we wasn't going home. Bam was just hurt at the time. What y'all failing to realize is this, man. When I look at intimidation is everything, okay? And the thing about the Miami Heat, they're going to get into your airspace. They're going to get into your face. They want all that smoke. And when you go back and look in this regular season, when Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant played, and they played the Miami Heat one game without Jimmy Butler, it went down to the wire, and Bam dropped the 40-piece on him. That's the problem. This is what y'all not understanding. We talk about how great of a player Anthony Davis is and how he's a game changer. Bam out of the Bayou is a game changer. He's a game changer. GMs around the league. Listen, man, what I'm trying to tell y'all, playoffs is all about adjustments. And if you sitting up here, you talk about the personnel and the players on the court, cool. I'm going to talk about the coaching. Who am I taking, Eric Spoelstra or Steve Nash? Give me
It's not Steve Nash you got to worry about. It's Mike D'Antoni with James Harden. This Nets
Mike
team
D'Antoni
is like
ain't won that.
He hasn't won it because he hasn't had the horses. He's got them now. Mike D'Antoni with James Harden is – it's like the Rockets just traded back then, just traded for KD and Kyrie. Good night. Now, I'll say this.
Yesterday.
Everything you said – about the Heat is true. Like, if by challenge you mean after the series, they're going to know they were in a series, yes. The Heat will leave a piece of themselves with the Nets. There'll be a couple of games, maybe you go, well, if only this would have happened that way, if only that would have happened this way, they could. No, but that's an illusion is what I'm saying. When you got as much talent as the Nets have, you always win.
Hey, Big Perk, we really got to go. I need a yes or no question here so producers don't kill me. Who is the biggest threat to the Nets in the East? Is it the Heat?
The Heat or my dark horse, Molly, okay, contender. That's how I'm going to leave it at
okay.
that.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The plot thickens. The NFL schedule release had everyone buzzing with the news of Tom Brady's return to New England. But how long can Brady keep playing Tom Brady Sr.? Talking that talk.
While he's happy now, I think he's starting to realize that the end of the career is coming to an end. And he's just savoring every moment as he walks down the final stretches, whether it's the next 1 year, 2 years, or 12 years.
Okay, Chris Canty, I am here for this on so many levels. His dad's talking, Brady's talking, I don't even know who this guy is now, and I'm just fascinated by anybody who's the best at what they do, especially
when handcuffs are off.
Especially when they're not the most talented, when we talk about guys like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. So let me ask you this. Do you think that Brady could actually outlast Belichick?
Molly, it's starting to look that way.
Right?
And let me say this. When Pop starts talking like that, on in the media and on the radio, you know it's real. You know that there's that competitive fire.
It's personal.
Where Brady wants to make sure that he leaves no doubt that he's the one that was more responsible for the success that they had out in New England. But, yeah, with Tom Brady and looking at this Buccaneers team, they're set up to have success for the next 3 or 4 years. Most folks move to Florida to retire. Tom Brady moves down there to win championships. I know that Bruce Arians hates the fact that people say, we're going to run it back. But this team is going to have a chance to be able to run it back. So I don't think there's going to be any question about between Belichick and Brady who's going to have more success in the twilight of their careers. It's Tom Brady. When we look at Bill Belichick, I mean, people got to realize that he's also on the back nine of his career, too. I mean, the oldest coaches to ever coach in an NFL game as a head coach, 72, 73 years old. Bill Belichick is 69. So, I mean, the end is close for him as well. So if I had to bet on who's going to have more success over the next 3 or 4 years, I would bet on Tom Brady. I think there's a chance that he outlasts Bill Belichick.
Well, if you phrase the question, is it possible? I have to acknowledge it's possible that Tom Brady outlasts him, which seemed ridiculous a year ago to me, let alone 2 or 3 years ago. Ridiculous. Because your physical qualities go faster than you think your mental acuity. Right? Like you'd be able to hold on to that a little later. And a 69, 70-year-old guy versus a 44-year-old athlete can tackle football. But I have to admit, it's possible. Like, for example, if the Patriots win 6 or 7 games this year, Robert Kraft may look at Bill Belichick and be like, timeout. You chased off Tom Brady, especially if they go on to have great success, win another Super Bowl, get to another Super Bowl. You chased them off, and we haven't had a winning season in 2 years. Kraft at that point says, we need a new GM. You stay coach, and maybe Belichick can't accept that. Like, there are scenarios I can see where that can happen. If I were a betting man, I'd still bet on Belichick. Just because I can't put anything past Brady anymore. But understand, every single time he takes the ball as still a great player, every time he does it, he's breaking his old record by one game. And he's so far out ahead of anyone who ever lived in terms of longevity, that he's breaking the last guy's record, say Warren Moon, by an embarrassing amount, right? One day he's going to be out of gas. And if I were a betting man, I'd have to say, can a guy keep coaching? Can he stay on the sidelines for another 3, 4, 5 years? Even? Yeah, I can see that before I can see a guy playing tackle football into his late 40s. But I got to admit, I can't rule it out. Brady's made it, so I can't rule it out.
Yeah, I mean, their general manager, Jason Light, went out earlier this week and said, yeah, if Tom Brady wants to play till he's 50, he can do that here. Now, we both agree that that's not going to happen. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have shown they're going to give Tom Brady as much runway as he wants. They're going to give him as much leeway as he wants. They've essentially turned their organization over to him and asked him, what do you need in order to have success? They gave it to him, and they won a championship in year one, and they brought everybody back to give it another crack and see if they can do it again. So, yeah, I'm betting on Tom Brady until shown otherwise. And with Bill Belichick, it remains to be seen whether or not he's going to be able to get that program turned around without Tom Brady.
I want to ask you guys both a question about Bill Belichick, because there were some concerns, I think, after the whole Malcolm Butler situation. And now we're kind of seeing this new fun-loving Brady where he's talking junk in social media, his dad. That was never the way with New England. I guess I'll start with you here, Max. But do you think there could be a scenario with a Bill Belichick where he needs to evolve, for this younger generation? I know Mac Jones is an Alabama guy, Saban similar to Belichick, but for the rest of the team?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it sounds ridiculous again, but a lot of Belichick's thing is managing the media, right? And he got that from way back, from the Parcells days, right? But back then, the media was limited to the professional media. And even though it seemed when I was a kid there were a lot of outlets, right? There weren't that many compared to today, when literally billions of people have media accounts, social media accounts. Things have changed, and maybe the way Belichick perceives players should interact with the media, maybe that he has to make some adjustments. You can't just rule that out either.
Max, I don't think there's any question that he's got to make some adjustments. And Tom Brady is proof that you can do it another way and still have success. Players are more concerned now than ever about their individual brand, being able to push stuff out on social media. Bill Belichick is going to have to allow some latitude if he's going to continue to get players to buy into his
Tom program. Coughlin, remember, they had that leadership.
I was on the leadership council.
Okay, so tell me.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Tom Coughlin is from that Belichick Parcells tree, and they don't like players talking to the media, but even Tom
hard
Coughlin
hard
adjusted.
Out, hard out. We're going to come back to this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Time for some NFL rookie quick takes. Canty, who will be the rookie quarterback with the most passing yards?
Molly, it's going to be the guy that went with the number one overall draft pick, Trevor Lawrence. The Jags had the second worst defense in the NFL last year. I don't think it's going to be that much better in year one with Urban Meyer. They're going to be playing catch up, and with the weapons that he's got to work with, Trevor Lawrence will have the most of any rookie quarterback.
Let's go. Max, rookie quarterback with the most wins.
Justin Fields, because I'm not convinced Trey Lance starts this year with Garoppolo on the team. They have Super Bowl aspirations. He was in the Super Bowl. I look at Lawrence. I look at Zach Wilson. Bad teams. You know, I don't think Mac Jones starts. Belichick's going to start a rookie quarterback over Cam Newton. Justin Fields playing for a team went 8-8, 8-8, 12-4 in the last 3 years. They're going to win some games, and so is he.
Canty, rookie quarterback that will make the playoffs.
Molly, is going to be Trey Lance. I think he's walking into a situation with the best offensive line, the best play caller, the best defense. And I know that Max doesn't think he's going to play as many games as Justin Fields, but Trey Lance is going to play eventually because Jimmy Garoppolo is the incumbent, and Jimmy Garoppolo can't stay healthy. So this 49ers team, there's a reason why Vegas has them as the third best odds to make it out of the NFC. It's going to be Trey Lance starting a playoff game.
The health thing is real.
Yep. Max, who's the rookie quarterback you think we'll all be raving about at the end of the offseason?
Zach Wilson at the end of the offseason, because he's in a big media market. He is a special player. He's fearless in terms of making off-platform throws. He practices them. He wants to be like Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers does a pretty good imitation, right? And I think that given his obvious, because given the fact that he's going to start right away, they just revamped the offensive line. Like, they got him. His left side is taken care of. He's going to be the guy we're buzzing about end of the offseason.
I got a lot of questions about Zach Wilson. One of the guys that I don't have a lot of questions about is Justin Fields. And even though he dropped a little bit in the pre-draft process, I feel like Justin Fields will show people why he should have got more consideration of being that second quarterback that came off of the board. Like, I just believe in the talent that he has. And although there are some things that he needs to tweak mechanically, I believe that Matt Nagy will put him in situations that bring out his talent. A lot of coaching is being able to figure out what players do well and put them in situations to do that and avoid keeping them in situations where they don't do things so well. So I think Matt Nagy will do that with Justin Fields. He'll be the guy that everybody's buzzing about.
What are your questions about Zach Wilson?
Well, the biggest question has to be with the New York Jets and seeing if they can develop a franchise quarterback. But beyond that, the quality of competition that we saw with him at BYU. I just don't know if it's going to translate to having success. I didn't watch a ton of Zach Wilson tape.
But I did
see him against Coastal Carolina, and he didn't look that great.
By the way,
so
I didn't see
I'm just saying.
I didn't see a bunch of Zach Wilson. And then, wait, he's ahead of Justin Fields? And so I went and YouTubed a bunch of Zach Wilson. Oh, my God. But as Mina Kimes pointed out, that offensive line was a beast. Mm-hmm. Right? He had a lot of time to do it. I'm just saying the eyeball test says this kid can play.
I want to go back to MVP really quick because obviously Vegas has Trevor Lawrence winning it. But do you think that's not the wisest choice just based on the fact it depends also on how well your team does to win MVP?
Yeah, it seems a little strange.
Like, I'm surprised Vegas would pick him. You're kind of the odds expert with the Vegas stuff, right?
Well, I mean, look, I look at all these guys. I think that the guys who people think, like the number one guy obviously is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of the team. The guy who got drafted second was Zach Wilson. Also, their team's not going to be ready yet, right?
Yeah.
So you start looking around who could play for a good team, and put up numbers. I don't think that's Mac Jones.
Yep. Mm.
I don't think he's going to play so fast as a lot of people think he's going to play. And so it comes down to me to Trey Lance and Justin Fields. And I agree with you. The injury thing is the big thing. Trey Lance could wind up in that situation if Garoppolo gets hurt, and he often does, but not all the time. And he did play in a Super Bowl. Justin Fields, it's his job. Mm-hmm. It's his job, and the team ain't bad.
And the team has a chance to win, but why would Vegas have Trevor Lawrence knowing the team isn't good? I mean, we're talking about this with Steph Curry with MVP, right? He's having a phenomenal year, but the team's not good enough. So I don't understand
Because Vegas, real quick, Vegas, when they set odds, they're just trying to get action on both sides of the line. Yep. So really what Vegas is doing is trying to take the temperature of the public. Trevor Lawrence has the most press, the most obvious talent. He's the most ready. He was the number one overall pick, so they take him because they probably get action on both sides.
Well, here's the one thing I will say about that as well. Trevor Lawrence is one of the most heralded prospects we've seen since Andrew Luck, and you saw what Andrew Luck did in year one with the Colts. Now, I get it. It's a different situation with that team versus where the Jags are, but if Trevor Lawrence is a part of being a turnaround agent for that Jags team, and, of course, that division being one of the worst divisions in all of football, I think that's what Vegas is betting on to see if they can get people involved with that line.
And, by the way, when I say both sides, that doesn't apply. It's not like an over-under. They're just saying, like, is he going to win? He's the most famous guy. Mm-hmm. He went number one. Mm-hmm. They will get the most action on him.
Do you really believe he could be the next Andrew Luck?
I think he's got the talent to do it. I mean, he's right up there with some of the best that we've seen come into the National Football League. There's nothing that Trevor Lawrence can't do at the quarterback position from a physical standpoint. The biggest question that I have with Trevor Lawrence is his situation with his head coach. It's the biggest question I got with him.
If he can develop
him. Whether or not he's got a head coach that can develop him properly.
You know, when he faced Joe Burrow, right? Like, it's like Trevor Lawrence. It's the reason I like them. Trevor Lawrence, he's the guy. When he was younger than Deshaun Watson, he did better against the same team that Deshaun Watson beat by the skin of his teeth. Trevor Lawrence sliced and diced him up. Here we go. Well, who was the best player on the field? Joe Burrow, by so much. They capped the greatest season of all time, maybe, right? Joe Burrow, maybe with the greatest game of all time. It's on a short list. And so when we, like, I think sometimes it's not that Trevor Lawrence doesn't have it all. He has it all. I get it. But sometimes when a guy starts out real fast, we kind of stick with that. There are other guys who performed in college in recent years when it mattered most, even better than Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying.
Max, he lost two games.
No doubt. And one of them was to who?
It was to Joe Burrow, who had a host of first-round draft picks on that offense. I'm just saying.
By the way, just as Trevor Lawrence did once upon a time.
But when we're talking Lawrence, Fields, Lance, Wilson, Jones, how good do you think this quarterback class will be when it's all said and done?
I think it's got a chance to be as good as what we saw in the quarterback class of 2004 with Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers. I mean, we're talking about guys that are capable of winning multiple championships.
Potential Hall of Famers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to go as far as to say it's the 83 class. I mean, it could be in that vein as well. Like, these guys have a lot of talent. And, Molly, the thing that I love about the lower levels of the sport is that they're developing quarterbacks that are ready to play earlier in their careers. So, I mean, the fact that we're going to see these guys sooner rather than later at the NFL
level. You like that, though?
I do.
Because it used to be the third year was the sweet spot, and now they're just thrown into the fire.
No, I mean, the rookie contract is the sweet spot for NFL teams in terms of constructing a roster that's capable of winning a championship.
I just point one thing out. The one team who's had the most success doing it, they have the best guy, are the Chiefs. Mahomes started one game as a rookie. He sat behind Alex Smith as a rookie.
But
and
that
then
was
in the
a playoff team. That
off.
Was a playoff team, and Alex Smith was playing
so were the
really,
Niners.
Really well.
So were the Niners. And I don't think that Alex Smith was any better than this Jimmy Garoppolo. In fact, if I had to pick between the two, I'll take the Jimmy Garoppolo who went to the Super Bowl over that Alex Smith.
Yeah, but you knew that Alex Smith was going to be under center each and every week. With Jimmy Garoppolo,
that's
he's
true.
Only had one season where he stayed healthy.
The other thing
one.
Is, the other thing is, you can go back to 04. Roethlisberger, Hall of Fame. Eli, borderline Hall of Fame. Rivers also, like, we'll see.
Hall of Fame. Yeah,
we'll
go.
See.
Yeah.
None of them in the inner circle Hall of Fame type thing. Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. We'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson off the field. He's facing serious stuff. Patrick Mahomes, that draft, you also have another guy who could still wind up in the Hall of Fame. Let's see. That's pretty good. Pretty good draft for quarterbacks.
Trubisky was there, too.
Yeah, well, not as good, but he started.
He was the first one.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. To the NFL, the Falcons releasing their schedule this past week on social media, but the buzz surrounding that wasn't who they were playing, but what players were not featured on the leading graphic. Please pull this up, this graphic for me, and I need you all to marinate on this for a second. The big one absent, look at this, guys, is star wideout Julio Jones. Mm. Arguably the best player on the team is not being shown.
What is the argument? Definitely.
I'm reading between the lines. True, Max is the best player. Chris, other than the Ravens, which team should trade for Julio?
Molly, I think it's the Indianapolis Colts. When you look at that passing attack from a year ago, it was one of the worst in terms of overall passing touchdowns, even though it ended up being a top 10 unit in terms of total yards. They made the bold move, their general manager, Chris Ballard, and head coach Frank Reich, to go out and get Carson Wentz. Now they got to make sure that they surround Carson Wentz with the requisite talent to be able to compete at the highest level. That's a team that should be in a position to win their division. Like, if I'm picking teams that should win the AFC South, the Colts are at the top of that list. The one thing that would give me a little bit of trepidation is the skill position players, and there aren't a whole lot of weapons to speak of on the edges of it. T.Y. Hilton is getting a little bit past it. I just feel like Julio Jones would punch that offense up a little bit, give Carson Wentz a weapon that can dictate front and coverage. Right now, they don't have that guy.
Like
so
that.
Julio Jones would be the pick.
The reason, Molly, you're saying except for the Ravens is we all say the Ravens, right?
Yeah.
And why would we say the Ravens?
Does Lamar need someone?
Because we want to find out about Lamar. Because they got everything else except a real stud number one receiver. And Julio Jones has been the man in this era really overall. Because on the field, what's his weakness? He's a dude without a single weakness. Size, speed, whatever you want. Locker room guy, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to find out about Lamar. You want to find out about Carson Wentz and the Colts, right?
Yep.
Know who I want to find out about? Cam Newton and Bill Belichick. That's who I want to find out about. You know, they bring in Hunter Henry. And they bring in Jonnu Smith. And when Aguilar is like, oh, they brought in Aguilar, that means you know you're struggling with a keg in terms of receivers. Kendrick Bourne, those are nice. But they don't have a number one stud receiver. And that's how you'll really find out. I think people are sleeping, snoozing, snoring on Cam Newton. But maybe he's past it. Maybe the league's caught up to him. There are enough other athletic quarterbacks who are also accurate consistently down the field. Maybe the league's past Cam. Maybe he's taken too much punishment. Or maybe he was working with a putrid offense last year in a COVID year with COVID. Put Julio Jones on the Patriots and let's see what happens. Let's see how much Belichick and Cam have left.
I don't know how long Cam's going to be the starting quarterback in New England either. I just don't. They took Mac Jones in the first round for a reason.
You give him Julio Jones, I bet you Cam will be there for a minute.
Okay.
Canty, who would you rather have, Wentz or Cam?
Oh, I got to go with I can't believe I'm saying this because I wanted to say Cam. I got to go with Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And I don't know who Carson Wentz is. I want to believe that he's more of the guy we saw in 2017 and not the guy that we saw last year, mm-hmm. who in 12 games led the league in sacks and interceptions. But I think Carson Wentz has the more upside because Carson Wentz has a lot more career left. So I would take Carson Wentz at this point over Cam Newton. I just have to.
That's fair.
I mean, Cam statistically was like the worst starting quarterback in the game last year, so I get it. But he's the worst starting quarterback in the game. Carson Wentz wasn't even a starter by the end of the year. You know why? He was considered the very, like, he couldn't have a starting job. They put a rookie in. The rookie, the offense did better with the rookie.
His confidence was shook, though.
Yeah, but well,
here's the problem. Here's the problem with saying that. Remember I started criticizing Wentz the year before in the second half when everyone said, he's an MVP? And I was like, guys, he's regressing shockingly. Week over week, I saw it. Last year was a continuation. It started a year and a half ago. Down, 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 right? So I don't know that it's just confidence. I think everything's messed up. Confidence is one of them. Kind of his internal clock, his timing, his like everything looks backwards to me with Carson Wentz. He's in a perfect position, got an offensive line, got the coach he's familiar with. He's got an offense, he's got a defense. We're going to find out.
Yeah, we've seen both them, Cam and Carson, play at very high levels at one point in their career. We got to see if that can come back again. To the Knicks we go. They are back, Max. You shouldn't have ditched them. You're a New Yorker too, Canty. What's the deal? After clinching a playoff spot for the first time since 2012-2013, R.J. Barrett weighed in on how they'd like to see this thing shake out, saying, we definitely want that four seed. We want that home court. Smart man. Big Perk back on your screen. Max, I'm going to start with you. How far do you see the Knicks getting in the playoffs?
If they can get the Hawks in the first round, they can get to the second round where their season will end. If they can get to the second round. Because, guys, something's occurred to me. Watching the Knicks, especially against the Lakers, and I know they were a little shorthanded. Obviously, so were the Lakers. They had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter a couple nights ago. And Talen Horton-Tucker was running point for the Lakers. They had no one else. And they didn't have any of their best players, really. And, you know, because and AD is, you know, with the groin and everything. And they lost. What's the criticism of Tibbs been throughout his career as a head coach? The team is really together and they're connected on defense and they really put in a lot of effort, and by the end of the season they look a little gassed. And I looked in that fourth quarter, Julius Randle hit the gas pedal, nothing there. Same thing with Derrick Rose. So I wonder if the Knicks in the playoffs can even get past the Hawks, but if they can, it'll end in the second round.
Kirk?
Max, stop it, dog. And that, you know what? What you just said lets me further know that you be watching the game of basketball through a completely different lens than everyone else. If you're going to sit up here and tell me that the Knicks look gassed, I thought Julius Randle hit a big shot in Anthony Davis' face. Derrick Rose hit a big floater down the stretch. The game was tight. It was an old school type of game, Max. Like, it was hung on the defensive end. Again, Candy, listen. It was in the trenches, Candy. It was in the trenches. That was one of those old school games. No one looked gassed, Max. Like,
oh, yes, they
it.
Did.
You know what happened with the Knicks? It was the Anthony Davis effect, his defense. That's why Derrick Rose couldn't get some of his shots off when Anthony Davis switched on him, or Julius Randle couldn't get those buckets, or they had a 24-second shot clock violation. It had nothing to do with the Knicks looking tired. Matter of fact, Derrick Rose looked great. But to answer your question, Molly, the Knicks ceiling is the second round. I'm not going to sit up here and disrespect the Atlanta Hawks, but if the Knicks get home court, They will beat the Hawks. I believe that series will go 6 or 7, and they will get to the second round. And whatever team they face in the second round, that series will also go 6 and 7.
Yeah, Big Perk, I'm with you on that one. I think the ceiling for this Knicks team is the second round, but make no mistake about it. The Knicks are a team that nobody in the Eastern Conference wants to see. They're going to take their pound of flesh. And you saw that with the Lakers, even though they didn't have LeBron James. They took all of Anthony Davis and that supporting cast for the Lakers in overtime to be able to beat the Knicks. And to Max's point about them being out of gas, that Knicks team was down 17 points in the second half against the Spurs last night. They put their foot on the gas pedal with Alec Burks and Julius Randle, and guess what? They got the job done.
Well, they were missing Burks against the Lakers. I mean, you know.
Well, they were missing Burks, but they were missing Derrick Rose last night, and they still found a way to be able to come up with the plays in the fourth quarter to seal that victory. And you're talking about a one-possession game late. So with this Knicks team, they figured out in the second half of this season how to execute in late-game situations, coupled with the fact that they play really good defense, and of late they've been shooting it really well. This Knicks team is going to be a headache for a lot of teams in the playoffs, no matter who their draw is on the first round.
Yeah, so basically what you're both saying is, at best, they get to the second round, which is what I said. We all agree with that, right? Right? There's a second-round exit.
Yeah, but
if it's success, it's a second-round exit.
Man, you're a straight up hater. You know that?
Right?
Okay, fine.
I admit it about Dolan's team. But they're an easy team to root for, an easy team to like. I acknowledge all that. But I'm just being
one
clear for
piece
the record.
Away
I said
from really
round.
Contending? One piece away, Big Perk? From really contending, like Nets level contending. What else do the Knicks need?
Point guard.
Yeah, they one piece away.
Guard.
Kevin Durant, you know?
I hate you guys.
They had a shot at him. If they had James Harden, you know,
Kevin
they'd be
Durant, a Kevin guard. Durant, Kyrie Irving. Oh, wait, that's already done.
Yeah.
All right, Perk, thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will chat with you all next week. Appreciate you always. All right, Minnesota Timberwolves owner Glenn Taylor has reached a verbal agreement on a $1.5 billion sale of a team to Yankee legend Alex Rodriguez and e-commerce mogul Mark Lohr. Sources telling ESPN Rodriguez's former teammate Derek Jeter, who he won a World Series with in 2009, is currently the CEO of the Miami Marlins. Max,
yeah.
Who has had a better post-playing career, A-Rod or Jeter?
I got to say, from a PR point of view, I think it's A-Rod. Like, it's nuts because A-Rod always put up these incredible numbers, right? But Jeter was always better than A-Rod. Like, A-Rod came to Jeter's team. Who switched positions? And A-Rod was a better defender. Who switched positions? That was Jeter's team. Who had all the rings? That was Jeter. Who was the captain of the team? Jeter. Who was the one, if you went around Major League Baseball, yo, who'd you want on your team? Everyone take Jeter. A-Rod was better. Nah. Jeter was winning. And then Jeter bought a team, right? And A-Rod was caught up in PED scandals and everything. Like, Jeter won. Somehow he won. Post-career? Post-career? Jeter's been criticized for the fire sale on the Marlins, even though they wind up making the playoffs. Yeah, that was expanded playoffs, a weird year, all this stuff. A-Rod was dating J-Lo, and he's a great analyst. Like, A-Rod is an elite, like, you know, TV analyst. Now he's going to buy a team, too, right? Like, A-Rod's winning post. I think from a PR point of view, I think A-Rod's winning post-career, which boggles my mind.
Nah, Max, I can't agree with you on that one. Derek Jeter is still the most beloved Yankee, even in post-career. And I will say this, even though he got criticized for stripping that Miami Marlins team down to the studs, he did get some praise for some of the things that he's done in that organization, including making sure that you lower that payroll a little bit just so the team could be profitable, and then hiring Kim Ng, too, to be an executive in that front office. So Derek Jeter, post-career, is doing some really good things. And not to mention, he gets to own a team in the sport that made him famous, whereas Alex Rodriguez tried and failed in terms of being a part of an ownership group with the New York Mets. So I
get not only a team, but New York South. Like, yeah. You know, especially in baseball, there's a huge connection.
They call it the South.
Yeah,
I tried A-Rod.
Jeter's my guy.
But Max, also part of it's just the whole PR thing. Is that's not Jeter's style. He's not on social media. He's also married to a supermodel, but they're not on social media. They're not out there like that.
You're right. But what I'm saying about Jeter is without seemingly trying, he never stepped in it. Even when he got into it with Steinbrenner early in his career, they turned it into a credit card commercial, right? Yeah. Like, Jeter was just always the man. And A-Rod always seemed like he was striving and striving, and Jeter just had it like that. And I'm saying, post-career, at the very least, A-Rod's doing some catching up. Like, A-Rod's looking good since he retired. Let's face it.
Now, to J-Lo right now, though, and that's a mistake because that's my girl.
Bennifer is back, isn't it? Nobody saw that coming.
I know. I like that you're up with the pop culture and you knew about Bennifer.
Just a little bit, Molly.
Yeah, A-Rod cannot be happy about that.
No, not at all. But A-Rod,
do you know what Bennifer is?
Yes, I do.
Pop culture. That's
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, who apparently are seen together again now or something like that.
Yeah, I will say this, though, Max. A-Rod should teach a class on PR because nobody thought he was going to come back from that PED
scandal. But do you know who helped him? J-Lo.
J-Lo did help him.
Yes,
he did soften that image a little bit. And
no
he did
question.
Become an analyst on Fox with the baseball thing. He did really well doing that as well, Sunday Night Baseball. Like, he's just – A-Rod he's turned it around.
He's caught up.
He's turned it around.
He's caught up. The guy had
No, he's not caught up.
You're right. I'm not saying he's all. I admit I lose. But my point is that A-Rod looks a lot better now compared to Jeter than he used to. Jeter's not beating him.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Jeter
he's much more likable. Yeah.
Not anymore.
For sure.
Not anymore. Now it's more of a race.
That's fair. 100%. All right. So lastly, I want you guys to watch this incredible clip that needs absolutely no introduction. Hopefully we have time to react to it after. What is this?
Thanks, Meta. I first met Coach Belfort at basketball camp when I was 15. And over the years, we became like family. I always thought of myself as having two Uncle Louis, my mom's brother and Coach Bell.
Now, hold on there just a second, Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman, I understand you loved Coach Bedford. We all did, Max Kellerman. But for you to have the audacity to compare him to your Uncle Louie, a man that gave you $3,000 for your bar mitzvah when he already was paying alimony to two women, Max Kellerman, you have to be pulling my leg.
Stephen A., how come nobody told me he was going to be up
Let's
here?
Understand something very clearly. I was not supposed to speak, nor was I even invited to this funeral. But Max, you should know there's nowhere you can go, nowhere you can hide where you can give your point of view without a passionate rebuttal from me. And I will not let you denigrate your Uncle Louie in the presence of these people.
Stephen A., yes, my Uncle Louie was a good uncle in his day. But to even speak his name in the same breath as say, my Uncle Howie is absurd.
I was surprised as anyone that he crashed the funeral, but he did.
There was just way too much to unpack with that. First of all, your Uncle Louie or your Uncle Harry, that was not a flattering headshot. Do you remember the image of it?
Yeah, but that was the coach who died. That was someone
that was
else.
The coach.
Yes. It's called Let's Be Real, Robert Smigel, you know, the guy who does Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, right? Very funny. You can see it on Hulu, by the way. That's Disney, Hulu. You can check it out.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that Stephen A. was up there to lighten the mood.
Right. Hilarious. Right. That was hilarious.
Too. Hey, Shaq makes an appearance.
We got a minute left. Shaq, I want to talk a little more NBA. What do we think the Lakers are going to do? They got a game Saturday and Sunday. They're a half game out of the sixth seed because of following Portland. You think they're going to play their starters?
I think LeBron will play. I don't know about AD. I think that the Lakers are headed for a play-in tournament where they could wind up playing two games, but they'll definitely make the playoffs. And I think they beat the Suns in the first round.
Yeah, I think LeBron ends up playing. I think Anthony Davis ends up playing because of the possibility of getting into a series.
Is it the right move for them to play, though?
Absolutely. It's the absolute right move.
They're a little banged up.
Rest that groin, AD.
Molly, Max, thank you guys for letting me sit
in. Hey, great to have you, Chris.
A phenomenal job. You are a class act. I mean, and just every single day got better and better and better. So
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
Russ. Leadership Council, too. We never got into
Leadership
that. In 2011 on the job.
You were the president of it?
No, I didn't say all that.